Well, God is an all-knowing, sovereign God. Did you agree with that tonight? That He's never made a mistake, and He's never been late. He's never had an accident. There's nothing He doesn't know. He's never in a hurry. He's perfect in timing. So I'm going to preach on the subject of Matthew dropped everything to follow Jesus. The day he dropped everything to follow Jesus. And they've sung that song. And it goes right with the message, which is pretty cool because they didn't know what I was preaching on. Amen. And so it's good to be back here. It's good to meet some of you guys and gals and some new friends, some old friends, some old friends. Just kidding. Matthew chapter 9. Would you do me a favor and just agree tonight that you will do whatever God tells you to do before the end of this service? Let's make that commitment. God, if you speak to me, whatever you say to me tonight, I'll follow you. I'll do what you say. When it's time to make a decision, I'll make that decision for you. Matthew chapter 9. Let's stand to honor God's word. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Now when it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, the word behold is like, wow, amazing, look at this. Many tax collectors and sinners came near and sat with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Then Jesus heard that, and he said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. Go learn what this means." He's saying, go do a Bible study, Pharisees. Go to Hosea, he says. And he quotes Hosea. He says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. As many in this room agreed by saying amen and raising their hands and nodding their heads, that they'll respond in a way you tell them to. Now, God, you're the sovereign God here. You know the hearts of each person. I'm just a mailman delivering the mail. You read the mail, Lord. You know the details of each person's life in this room, Lord. Would you please speak into it? Would you please draw some tonight to drop everything to follow you, Lord? Would there be some tonight that would come out of the religion, come out of the good works mentality, and say, "I need that grace from God. Tonight I realize I'm a sinner and I need to repent of my sins and ask Jesus to forgive me. That all my doing, all my church membership, all my good works does not make me right with the Father in heaven." Father, if there's some here tonight that need to surrender to follow you in ministry, surrender to the call. Some have been visiting church here, church there, and they need to follow you in church membership. And some have been saved and they need to follow you in believer's baptism. Whatever it is, Lord, would you speak to us tonight? And we give you the praise and the glory. Now help me preach like a dying man to a dying people. And I'll give you the praise and the glory. Make me bold, make me brave, make me unafraid. Give me recall in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus. He's healing people and he's got this big following. He's got people following him around and he's preaching the kingdom of God, and he's doing these signs and these wonders, proving that he is the Messiah that the Old Testament speaks of. And he heals a man, and when he heals a man, he claims to forgive him of sin. Well, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the cold water committee of the day, they know the Bible, and they say, wait a minute, only one person can forgive sin. So they want to kill Jesus. They're upset, they're angry. They say only God has the power to forgive sin. Jesus is telling them he's God. He's the one that can forgive sin. And now, not only is he the one that can forgive sin, get this, he's off to find a sinner to forgive. He finds one named Matthew. Matthew, to me, in the Bible, is a perfect example. A perfect example of how Jesus pursues and forgives sinners. He's pursuing sinners, he's forgiving sinners, and he does that today. And Matthew's doing what Matthew did every day. He's a tax collector. He's sitting in his tax booth. He's ripping people off. My boy is hated. No one likes Matthew. No one wanted to be around Matthew except other people like Matthew. No one wants to be around manipulators and liars, but other manipulators and liars. Did you know that? That's why it's important to be a person of integrity, because people with integrity have friends with integrity. People with no integrity have friends with no integrity. And here we go, Matthew, a man with no integrity. And we see here in Scripture, the focus is not on the message Jesus preaches, because we don't know what he says. All we know is he calls him to follow him. The focus is not on the conversation between Jesus and Matthew, because there's not a lot of dialogue here in Scripture. But the focus is on the fact that Jesus calls Matthew and Matthew responds to the call to follow Jesus. I want to just give you a picture for a moment. Matthew is sitting in the tax booth, and the tax collectors were contracted by the Romans. And they bid on the job, and they get the job. And so now Matthew has a job working for the oppressor of his own people. Now just think about that for a minute. Imagine someone took over our country, and they killed people we loved, and they were oppressing our people, and they moved into our land. And then they were looking for people to tax. And they would always find somebody who knew people in the community, spoke the language, because they knew everyone and knew what everyone did. They would find somebody who would be the betrayer for their people. And they would tell this person, this is the tax we want, and you can charge as much extra as you want. And so the tax collectors made a profit off the top. They were known to lie. They were known to manipulate. They were known to be really bad people. They stole, and they extorted their power, and they betrayed their own people for financial gain. At the temple, they couldn't even worship. The high priest deemed them, the priest deemed them as unclean. They were hated by their own people. Here he is, he's Matthew. He's the liar. He's a thief. He's a manipulator. And I studied this and I looked up, where would Matthew be at? I wanted to know where he was. Where was Matthew's route at? And most likely Matthew was posted up at one of the very busy routes where the apostles would travel. He'd be posted up somewhere in his little booth where the fishermen would go on their route every day. And guess who would get taxed by Matthew most likely? Peter, James, John, their father Zebedee. They hated him. He'd see him walking, he'd stop him, and he'd say, wait a minute, boys, come here for a minute. What you got in the basket? Give me my cut. I wonder what the conversation was like that day. I wonder what it was like. They were probably stopped by Matthew. Once again. Excuse me, fellas, come here for a minute, you know. What do you got in the bag? You got anything to declare? And he's harassing them. And I bet you Jesus looked at him. And it was like when you're at church and you're going through something. Maybe you fought with your wife in the parking lot and you get out and you act like everything's okay. You know what I'm talking about. How you doing, brother? We're great. How are you doing, brother? No, you're not. And you hear the message. And it's like the pastor's looking right at you. I bet you that's what happened. And Jesus, he glares at Matthew and he says, God's calling you to follow him, Matthew. Aren't you tired of being a thief, Matthew? Don't you want more out of life, Matthew? How long are you going to resist him, Matthew? Matthew, leave this life and follow me. And they thought, are you kidding me, Jesus? Matthew, come on. We can't stand this guy. We hate this guy. He's a thief. He's a robber. He's a traitor to his own people. He's been ripping our people off for years. I just want you to place yourself there for a minute. Matthew might have been thinking about his life that day. You know? about how he'd been living, and somehow he was convicted. And then at the perfect timing, Jesus comes along and places a calling on his life. The conviction from God is so strong on Matthew. Matthew's cut to the heart. He drops his notebook. He takes off his little tax collector uniform. You said they don't have a tax collector uniform. How you know? I think he did. And he took it off. And he leaves his tax booth, and he says, I'm going to follow Jesus today. He leaves his old whole life behind. He says, oh, I just feel so much better now. Something's lifted off my back. I have hope and I have peace. Matter of fact, hey, come over to my house. We're going to have a party. I'm going to invite all my manipulating, lying, thieving, tax collectors, friends over. We're going to have a party, and you're going to tell them what you told me today. Because I want all of them to know Jesus. This was the day Matthew dropped everything to follow Jesus. What can we learn tonight from this section of Scripture? How can this give us a zeal? How can this give us revival tonight? Here's some simple truths I'm going to give you tonight if you'll pay attention. Simple truth number one, the call to follow Jesus always comes unexpectedly. It's always unexpected. I want you just to think about that for a minute. Who could have planned this day? You think Matthew planned this day? You think Matthew, he woke up and he made plans to be a follower of Jesus Christ? He was doing what he did every day. He got up, he ate breakfast, he put on his little tax collector uniform. He went to his tax booth. He started harassing people. And the next day he planned on doing it again. He had no plans to follow Jesus. He had no plans to become a follower of Christ. He didn't see this coming, guys. But here comes Jesus. Think about that. There was nothing to attract Jesus to Matthew. What was there to attract Jesus to Matthew? What was so attractive about Matthew to Jesus? Was it the fact that he was a thief? Was it the fact that he was a liar? Was it the fact that he was a traitor of his people, an extorter? Was it the fact that Matthew was hated by everyone? No one seen it coming. Not even Matthew. Let me ask you a question. Matthew would be an apostle of Jesus Christ, a preacher, preaching the kingdom of God with apostolic gifts. He would be one who would go out and tell people, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus would be one of the 12. Think about that for just a minute. Show me one place in the Bible where an apostle of God planned on following Jesus. Show me one person who planned on it. That's not how this works, guys. There's a supernatural side to this, and I don't understand. If you ever figure it out, let me know. I'm not going to complain about it, but it's what the Bible teaches. I think it's amazing. It's just really cool, man. Look what it says in Matthew 4, verse 21. Going from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them. They were fishing. They were at the power plant. They were just doing what they did every day. They were doing their job. He sees them working with their dad in the family business, it says. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father. You think his dad was happy about that? And followed him. John 1:43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. And he said, follow me. John chapter 1, verse 46. And Nathanael said to him, he's speaking to his brother, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said, behold, an Israelite who is no deceit, who is in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Look what Jesus said to him. And Jesus said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you there.
I've been watching you all day, Nathaniel. I'm after you. I'm pursuing you. Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Think about your life tonight. Think about the events that and the interruptions and the hand of God. Think about that for a minute. To get you in the place of full surrender. Some of you didn't plan on being here tonight. You feel like you surprised God by showing up. But God's interrupting your life. God's chasing you down because he wants you to follow him. It always comes unexpectedly. And let me show you something else. Here's another truth I found. There is satisfaction in answering the call to follow Jesus. Great satisfaction. I always tell people, if you're living a boring Christian life, you're doing it wrong. Because Christianity is not boring. It's a great adventure. I love being a Christian. It's so satisfying. Imagine Matthew. He's living in a nice home in Capernaum. Matthew had a Cadillac chariot, man. He rode that thing to work every day. He had good food to eat. You say, how do you know he was so well off? Listen, don't you miss this. He threw a banquet in one day's notice. Who else could do that but a rich person? He was very wealthy. He had friends that would visit him, money to spend, but something weighed him down. And all that stuff he had and all the money and the abilities that he had in a poor, poor country, he was wealthy. Matthew was missing something. I want you to think about that. Something was missing from Matthew's life. He couldn't find peace in his money. He had a great job. He lived in the best house, but he wasn't satisfied. He had no hope and no purpose. And with the timing of the FBI, now some of you don't know what that's like. Some of us do, amen. Jesus shows up. They have expert timing, just so you know. And he says, Matthew, follow me. Some think, preacher, where does it say Matthew was not satisfied? Can you show me in Scripture? He left it all behind. He walked away from it all. That's how I know he's not satisfied. You don't walk away from everything you're satisfied with. He wasn't satisfied. Look what Luke says. He calls him Levi, same person. Luke chapter 5, verse 28. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his house, and there was a great number of tax collectors and others sat down with him. I don't think you're hearing me. He had the dream job. He had the dream job. He wouldn't be able to get his job back. He was walking away from not just his job, not just his friends, but his old life altogether, because that old life wasn't satisfying him anymore. He knew he was missing something, and he was happy, man. He wasn't sad. He wasn't discouraged. He said, I'm going to throw a party. You don't throw a party because you're discouraged. You throw a party because you're excited. Matthew was excited. Listen, he finally got something his money couldn't buy. He's leaving his old life. It was so satisfying. Why was it so satisfying when he left his old life? Because Jesus offered him a new one. Oh, a new life. My whole life, all I wanted was a dad. One of the biggest things I ever wanted was a father. Never had a dad. And then I got off in a crime world and addiction and became a junkie. And the next thing you know, I wanted a new life. I wish, man, I could just have a new life, another chance at life. And God offered me both those things. You telling me I wasn't excited? Oh, another chance to live? He thought he'd always be rejected. He thought he always would be stiff-armed by the religious crowd. He thought he'd always be a thief, always be a liar. He'd always be that guy who was never accepted by God because of what he had done. And now he's got a new chance at life. Now he's got an opportunity to be a preacher. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Biblical Christianity. Right here in this section of Scripture.
Is there one here listening to the sound of my voice and you've just realized that best, that really good job can't satisfy you? Maybe you're listening to the sound of my voice and you realize that money, it's not satisfying you. Those nice cars, clothes, popularity, it's not bringing you peace. You realize it's going to leave you empty. That was Matthew. Tonight, church member, I offer you something that money can't buy. Something that good job can't buy. Purpose, peace, a new identity, something worth celebrating. I'm reminded of my coworker, Matt Price. It's not in my notes. I didn't plan on sharing this, but I feel led to. He was a police officer in Atlanta, Georgia for 14 years. Became a church planter in Sturgis, South Dakota. When he was in Atlanta, he adopted a little boy named JP from the projects. JP had a messed up home, and his wife's an interpreter. JP is hard of hearing. And they bonded, and they adopted JP from the school system. They ended up getting JP, and they moved to plant a church in South Dakota, and then he calls me and he says, man, I just feel led. I want to be a missionary for Freeway. And could you use a guy like me? And I thought, well, a pastor's never called me and asked me to be a missionary for Freeway or a police officer. So let me think about that. I said, well, sure. You know, if God moves and God leads that way, I can't guarantee it, but come down here and learn and go through our internship program and we'll see what happens, you know. And so he sold his home. Spearfish, South Dakota, got a U-Haul, put his wife, his teenage boy, 19-year-old boy, and everything he owned in that U-Haul, and he left everything to follow Jesus. He gets to Springfield, Missouri, goes through our internship. I'm about to send him off to another church, and I had a spot come open on staff, and I prayed, and God gave me his name. I said, listen, is there a reason I'm thinking of you? And he said, we're grieved because we don't want to leave. So I hired him. He's my assistant. JP has had a struggle getting a job because he's hard of hearing. He reads lips, but he can't hear real well. And I put a deal on Facebook. Hey, this is JP. He needs a job. Would anyone give him a job? And over 300 and something people shared that. And he had more job offers than you could shake a stick at. JP got him a job, Paul. He works for my brother-in-law, Seth Thompson. I said, Seth, he is hard of hearing. He can read lips. Seth told me, he said, he got him trained through OSHA. And he said, we're going to put you on the demolition crew. He said, everybody wears hearing aids in the demolition, or hearing plugs in the demolition crew. So every single person on the job site working with JP is hard of hearing. And JP's the only one who can read lips on the job site. And when you see JP, my wife called me and said, JP came to the office and he gave us a hug and he's smiling and he's got his work vest on. He doesn't ever take his work vest off, his flannel vest, because he's got him a job and he's got him a purpose. And he's smiling. He got his hair cut and his braids. His braids don't hang down in his face no more. And you can see him and he's happy. And somebody said, what happened, Charlotte? Charlotte said, JP has a purpose. JP has a reason to get up in the morning. JP has hope now. Oh, that's what Jesus gives us, guys. Hope, purpose, a reason to get up in the morning. Joy. That's what happened to Matthew. Think about the dinner at Matthew's house. This isn't a normal meal. This is a banquet. You say, preacher, how do you know it's a banquet? Well, I studied the verse. In verse 2, it says Jesus sat. That word sat is the Greek word for recline. I learned this. They didn't recline at a normal meal. They sat on a stool. But they only reclined at banquets. He's at a banquet, a party, at Matthew's house. And the apostles are with him, and they're thinking, man, I can't believe this is happening. I've always hated this guy, and here I am at his house with a bunch of tax collectors, you know.
And they're reclining and they're sitting back and they're eating and this is a party, but this is a going away party, a going away party. What would be the occasion of this party? I can see it now. Matthew has all his tax collector friends there and his outcast friends and his rejected friends, and he gets their attention. Ding, 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 ding. And it gets real quiet and he says, all of you, this is a goodbye party because you will not see me anymore. You will not see me stealing. You will not see me drinking. You will not see me lying. You will not see me manipulating. You will not see the same guy living like I used to live when we first met. This is a going away party because I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And behold, old things have passed away and new things have come. I want you to know this is me saying goodbye. And I want to introduce the guest of honor, and his name is Jesus. I can see it now. He's the guest. He's the one that is responsible for it all. It gives you satisfaction when you drop everything to follow Jesus. And my last simple truth tonight, those who respond to the calling, those who respond. See, the Pharisees are appalled at Jesus because Jesus is going to dinner with a bunch of freeway ministry people. Pretty much. The most marginalized people of that society, a bunch of sinners. They can't believe he's actually eating with them. People who were lawbreakers and known to be thieves and liars. And the religious establishment is now questioning the disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus hears them. Jesus interrupts them and he uses an illustration that everyone would understand. He speaks of a doctor. He speaks of sick people. People who realize they're sick, he says, go to the doctor. And people who don't think they're sick don't go to the doctor. I did a study on this and I found that 371,000 people die every year due to being misdiagnosed. 371,000 people. Oh, this is wrong. This isn't wrong with you. This is wrong with you. Or, oh, you're okay. Nothing's wrong with you. 371,000 people every year. 250,000 people die every year because they're sick and the doctors missed it. Another 15 million people walk around every year terminally ill and they don't even know it. 16 million people a year almost die because they don't know what's wrong with them. They're terminally ill and they walk around and then they die. Can I tell you something tonight? It's like that in church. Just like that. You're okay. Remember Bible camp? When you was 5 and you repeated a prayer and you've been limping like a sinner ever since? Oh, brother, you don't need to be saved. You're a deacon. That conviction is not. No, you're fine. Misdiagnosed. But you know in your heart, the Lord Almighty is speaking to you. And you need to repent of your sins. Turn. Drop your pride. Walk out of that religion and say, today's the day. I need to recognize I'm a sinner. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me and trust in him and repent of my sins. Because I've never done that. I've been good my whole life. I've never been to jail. I've never had a ticket. I work in the nursery. I sing on the praise team. How can I be a sinner who needs to repent? Do you hear him calling you tonight, Matthew? You hear his voice? See, these religious people, these religious leaders were sick as Matthew, but they were blinded by religion. They never realized they were sinners in need of a Savior. Jesus told them, he said, the well have no need for a physician. That's the group of people who see no need for a Savior because they're doing it without him. They're doing it with their good works and all their doings and keeping of the law. And they're depending on their goodness and their morality. They've never been to jail. They never had a ticket. They have perfect church attendance. You need a doctor because just like sin,
Just like cancer and sin, it's there and you don't even notice it. But tonight, Scripture is piercing your heart. You're convicted by God. I wonder if there's one that realizes right now that you're a sinner. I wonder if there's one that's come to the realization that all your good works, your sacrifices, and your morality is not good enough to make you right with God. Right now, God's showing you that. See, the people who respond to Christ in repentance are the ones that realize they need to be forgiven. Like sick people in the hospital looking for a doctor. Verse 13, but go learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. You got to get lost before you get found, guys. That's the wonderful thing about preaching to drug addicts and criminals. They know they're messed up. They've come to that conclusion. You don't have to tell them. But man, it's hard to get a church person lost because they've been in church their whole life. And somehow they believe that all their good works and all the things they've done in church has made them right with God. And they never see themselves as a sick person in need of a doctor, so they never come to the physician. I hope that's not you tonight. You know, you find Jesus where you find a doctor with the sick people. Do you recognize your spiritual condition? If you don't, you'll never be right with God. Would you stand with me tonight and bow your heads? I invite the worship team to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. I wonder what would happen if we truly abandon our American dream tonight. I wonder if we dropped everything and we came to this altar. We say, I drop everything tonight to follow you. Pastor Paul, I've got quotes for days. Anytime, anywhere, any place. God, I'll go anywhere, anytime, any place. I like to call it the blank contract. Put your name on that blank contract tonight. Here's my name, John Stroop. You fill it out. I'm submitted to you, Lord. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? The call comes unexpectedly. There's great satisfaction in the call, and then there's those who respond to it. With every head down, every eye closed, I just want to pray for just a minute. No one looking around. I wonder if there's one in this room tonight says, preacher, I'm under strong conviction that I need to be saved. I'm in this church and I'm struggling. I know I need to come forward. Would you just pray that I'd have enough boldness to come to Pastor Paul and just say, I need Jesus. Here I am. You're here tonight. Just slip your hand up. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. Just say, that's me, preacher. I'm here in the church and I feel like this is my moment. I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I just need the bravery. I need the boldness to be able to come and say, I need to be saved. Here I am. I believe there's people here that need to trust Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you found out that job, that money, all those things that you thought would satisfy you have left you empty. You're distracted by this world. You're a Christian. Maybe you're here tonight. You need to come and say, Jesus, hey, here I am. I'm dropping these things to follow you. I hear you speaking to me. You made a commitment tonight. You said that whatever God told you to do, that you would do. If you need to speak about salvation, please just don't come down here to pray. Come to Pastor Paul. Come to me. Come to Pam. Come to one of these leaders. And just say, I need Jesus. We'll know. You'll leave this place different than when you came in. Father, if there's one here that needs to be saved, would they come? Will we take off our church mask and get real? Let's not hide behind anything else, Lord. Let's come out. That conviction that you speak to our lives, Lord, through your word, that sword that cuts to the heart, dividing the soul and the spirit, God, your word's been preached. Your word says faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word of God. I believe in my heart of hearts there's somebody in this room that needs to be saved. They didn't raise their hand and they're here. God, would they come? Would they make this tonight? Would they declare you as Lord and repent of their sins? They realize the sinfulness of sin, that their goodness can never make them right with you, Lord. And tonight you're showing them they need to be saved, that you alone are good. Your sacrifice alone is good. Father, if there's some here that need to join the church, would they come and tell Pastor Paul, I've been hopping long enough. I want to make this my home. Maybe there's some that have been saved, but they've never been baptized on the right side of salvation. And they want to follow you in believer's baptism. Maybe some need to surrender to ministry. I don't know. But God, you've spoken to their hearts through your word, because that's what you do. Would they respond to it, each person individually? Would we not stand there in our seats, but would we move when you say move? In Jesus' name, amen.